Welcome to the newest episode of It's My Turn with Charlie Turner Thorne. I'm Charlie Turner Thorne, the head coach of Arizona State University women's basketball. I've been a head coach for 26 years, so I'm used to getting asked the hard questions. There's always a lot of pressure to win while developing the lives of our 18 to 22-year-old women. The most challenging part of all this? Well, all of it. But now it's my turn to ask the questions while hopefully sharing a few nuggets of my own about leadership and building a winning culture. Bobby Hurley, you are on the hot seat. Thank you so much for joining us today. You have truly done it all, you know, but three Final Fours, starting point guard, two national championship teams, tremendous point guard in the NBA, and now, you know, our incredible men's basketball coach at ASU. Obviously, you can't do all that without being an amazing leader. So I thought we tend to talk about leadership on this podcast, so I was hoping you could just, you know, just share with the listeners any thoughts, ideas, nuggets you have in terms of what it, you know, what it takes to really be a successful leader.
Well, great to be with you, Charlie. And I'm leading the household here, the Hurley household, co-leadership with my wife, Leslie, with having all the kids back in the house. It's been crazy times and trying to adjust to the new world here that we've been living in the last few weeks and the variety of new ways that we communicate now. And we were just sharing our thoughts on the Zoom and the whole thing. And I've never done a Zoom call until this, everything that's happened the last several weeks has made that a new option.
Yeah, I know. In
our world. certainly trying to keep the communication up even more with our players because you don't get a chance to see them the way we normally would see them this time of year. It's been a challenge as they would filter through the office. And maybe, you know, you would see them outside the weather up center. And so just being on the phone with them more and just and talking and seeing how they're doing and making sure they're finishing up academically. But certainly those are just some short-term things. Overall with leadership, I think it probably originated from, you know, watching my dad as growing up in my household. My dad was coached high school basketball in New Jersey for 48 years and was really a just grew up with the game, seeing how he helped shape, you know, kids' lives and a lot of kids that have, you know, difficult upbringings. And he, you know, was a father figure, a mentor, and definitely a disciplinarian in their lives from a basketball standpoint. And very successful. I think he had a winning percentage of around 9,900. So he was pretty strong at the high school level. And so I was exposed to winning and seeing how he was able to build relationships with his players, get his players to trust him, and certainly compete. He was really a competitor. And so I tried to implement a lot of the things I learned, you know, growing up. And then my experiences as a player, I think I was a self-made player, really worked hard, understood the value of work ethic to become really good. And kind of a guy, I think my leadership style as a player was guys would follow me because of how hard I played, how hard I competed, that I played to win, and those characteristics, I think. And I was kind of unselfish. I liked to pass, and as a point guard, I really got everyone involved, so everyone appreciated that. And then being around a guy like Coach K, who had such a strong background in coaching and being at West Point and understanding, you know, what those leaders do and just seeing how he was able to connect with his players and get the most out of his players and really felt like he cared about you more than just the basketball component. And that always has carried over, you know, in terms of how I think about coaching our teams now at Arizona State. So I don't know if I've talked too long, so I might let you say something now.
No, that's all great stuff. And shame on anybody who's listening if they don't know what a legend your dad is. I mean, we, you know, of course, gave you your proper props, but I mean, your dad is amazing and an incredible leader, which, and that's just a ridiculous winning percentage. But, you know, and doing it in an environment and a culture where he did have to be so much more than a coach. I did a coaching clinic with him way back in the day. And the best part of the clinic was that he actually, after he spoke, sat down in the front row and listened to my clinic and kind of took notes. And I was so honored because, you know, I had watched his documentary. I had, you know, I know his story and just, you know, who he was as a person and a coach. So clearly you are a chip off the old block, Bobby, and appreciate that wisdom on coaching. So kind of along those lines, and also, you know, clearly thank you for, you know, I kind of jumped into things, but I'm glad your family is healthy, and I'm sure it's got to be kind of fun to have everybody home. I hope it's fun to have everybody home. But let's, going back to your family, when you were home with your dad growing up in the Hurley household, imagine it was kind of competitive, especially with, you know, your brother Dan. And well, we were kind of wondering if you had any funny anecdotes or stories that would highlight the Hurley competitive spirit from back in the day. And I don't know.
Where do you want me to start? I mean, it was
just maybe one fun story.
I always immediately at a very young age understood what winning meant and when we didn't, what the household felt like. Times when I was really young and it didn't go our way for St. Anthony, and, you know, everyone kind of dispersed and gave my dad his space to go through his processes. And, you know, my brother Dan and I usually would hide out in the basement for a period of time where we both shared a bedroom downstairs. Yeah. So, you know, and now going through it as a coach, I think my family might feel the same way after a game, a hard loss, just seeing the toll that could take on you. But that was, yeah. And then, you know, my dad, he got me involved in competitive sports really early, got me involved in track and field. And I ran cross country, which he was really big on. I think it later on down the line and my development as a player was critical in how personal running in a race is when you're competing and, you know, all you're doing is running and chasing someone and how tough that is and how that builds, you know, some mental toughness. So, you know, we did that some, and otherwise, yeah, there were some interesting ones. There was a scrimmage game my junior year, and this was after Raleigh Massimino and Villanova had won the national championship in 1985. It was 2 years later, and there's Raleigh Massimino drove from Philadelphia to New Jersey to watch my team scrimmage, and he brought his whole staff to the scrimmage, and it was a big deal for me seeing him. He just won a national championship, and like the first couple of possessions of the scrimmage, I think I had a turnover, and then I had bad body language to the turnover, and I might have said something to the official, and he called a timeout. My dad did it and kind of lit me up in the huddle and then didn't like my body language. And then he sent me to the locker room. So that one was so I guess Coach Massimino got to see me play for about 3 minutes. I drove 2 hours from Philadelphia. So there were always things like that I think, you know, my dad really challenged me. And it was a, you know, highly competitive environment, but did it in a way that, you know, he wanted the best for me.
Definitely. Well, and I think it worked out okay going with Coach K. So, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure. Choices you make in life are important, and I made a pretty good choice there.
Yeah, and so did they. I know finishing up here, you've been at ASU for 5 years, leading our men's program, 3 straight 20-win seasons. You're going to go to your third
straight NCAA tournament this year, first time in 60 years at ASU. So congratulations, you know, great job. We
Thanks.
Both know how hard that is, Bobby. And tough that, you know, the seniors and players didn't get to take advantage of the NCAA
yep.
tournament. But
Definitely.
But what can fans look forward to heading into year six?
I think that, like you've done over your 24 years?
Yeah, going into 24th, yeah.
24. I mean, you've
yeah.
been able to build and sustain a standard and a culture and an expectation within a program, and I think that's what we've been able to transition to. Is the climb is very difficult, and we're still trying to climb and get better. But we have a foundation of kids that we bring in that I think represent the school at a very high level, that have great passion for playing, that you know, have personality and charisma to how they play. I think it's a pretty exciting brand of basketball, and just excited about our recruiting class and what we've been able, you know, to add to a very strong roster already of older, experienced guys that are used to going to the tournament, like you touched on, winning 20 games and competing for championships. So that's where we're pushing towards, and we're hopeful that we'll continue to push to get to the top of the conference and have a chance to go, you know, make a deep run, you know, in the NCAA tournament. Hopefully that's in our near future. I just, again, love, it's a real rewarding as a coach to have kids that you want to coach so badly, that you want to go to battle with, and because you have a level of respect for how they compete, how they work on their game, how they conduct themselves, you know, on and off the court. And it's been a real privilege to, you know, to be here and to see the progress we've been able to make. And this is more expectations. We've kind of been the underdog, and we've snuck up on some people in the Pac-12 the last couple of years. And just the way things are shaping up, it doesn't look like that this year. And going to have a little more of a target on us.
No, I think
you're
going to have a big target on your back. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, and it's got to be a bit of a mixed blessing that you're so great at developing your players that some of them, you know, kind of have these incredible pro opportunities. But I can speak as somebody, you know, we share our facility and I get to be around your guys a little bit and just say hi to them. And they are phenomenal. I mean, they are just great young men, and they always, you know, always are just so personable. And so I'm just going to echo what you said, Bobby, because it's true.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about the kids. When I feel the same exact way. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I hope, we all hope that Leslie Cameron and Sydney and Bobby Jr. Are doing well, and you guys are maybe enjoying a little bit of extra family time. I know we're still really busy, and I hope that your family back in New Jersey is healthy and safe, Bobby. You know, speaking for myself and the whole Sun Devil Nation, you know, thank you for all you've done, and great luck. I mean, let's keep it going, both of us.
Absolutely. Yes, you got it. Let's do it. Thanks, Charlie.
Yeah.
And you say you and your family wish you all the safety and health, and we'll get through this, and hopefully before not too long, we'll be back at Weather Up Center to get going, gearing it up for next year.
Exactly. That sounds great. Thanks again, Bobby. Okay.
Thanks, Charlie.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
Yeah. You too. All right. Bye-bye. Well, today I think I'm just going to finish up building on Coach Hurley's incredible nuggets with leadership, and just maybe try to add a few thoughts of my own. I read this quote the other day: in the past, jobs were about muscles, then they became about brains, and now they're more about heart. And that is something that I personally really relate to, in the sense that I feel like I lead with my heart, you know, and sort of with our program, we really talk about and work on, and we're doing that right now, by the way. We're spending our time, the little bit of time we get on Zoom calls, and everything, just building our culture and creating a culture where, you know, our players are going to feel safe and seen and heard and respected, and, you know, where they really care about and have connection with each other. And this is, you know, this is our job as leaders to really create, the culture within our, whether it's our family, whether it's our community, within our professional, jobs, or, you know, other outside entities. It's so important for us as leaders to, you know, get out of the cheap seats, excuse me. And, this is sort of a analogy taken from Brené Brown, but get out of the cheap seats and get into the arena, you know, and get dirty and get your butt kicked a little bit, and, you know, don't sit back and criticize, but just fight alongside of each other to, you know, to be vulnerable and to build trust with your people and get the most out of them. You know, successful cultures, are all about having strong, healthy relationships. There was actually, a study done at Google, a 5-year study, that looked at what are the most successful, teams. And by far the most successful teams were the teams that people felt safe and that they could take risk and be vulnerable in front of each other. So, you know, for all the leaders out there, just encourage you to keep building trust and, you know, developing that culture where you're empowering your people, you're having empathy, especially right now in this tough time. And, you know, just being really honest, you know, being clear with people is much better than, you know, trying to make them feel good. So we like to say clear is kind and unclear is unkind. But, anyway, just, wanted to give you a few thoughts today on leading your team, whoever that might be. And, just continuing for all of us, I guess, to stick together in this really, really unprecedented time to get through this. There's been some amazing experiences by friends of mine, and I'll share one really quickly. And I know we're probably out of time today, but we'll go a little bit longer because my mom was driving to her sister's house from Southern California to San Diego because her sister passed away and she had to clean out the house, and her car overheated and broke down on the I-5 freeway. She got off the off ramp, but the car locked up, and she's, how old's my mom? 78. She's trying to push the car. It wouldn't go. A woman pulled her car over, ran over, told her to get in, put the car in neutral, helped her push it out of traffic onto near a curb. And my mom was just incredibly grateful. The woman runs off, comes back and gets coolant to put in my mom's car, so that she could, you know, not be kind of stranded in East LA. And my mom tried to give her money, and the woman just said, Oh no, baby, we got to stick together right now, and left. And it was the most powerful thing. Let's stick together. Stay tuned. Go Devs.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the next episode of It's My Turn with Charlie Turner Thorne.